Last time on Green Shirt, a newbie's trek through the next generation.
Hey, Lower Deck, what do you think about your time on the Enterprise so far?
The only thing that can make it better is a magic sex scandal, but I guess I'll just have to live without that.
Not every mission deserves Warp 7. Sometimes they only require impulse power.
Bobby, the worst Starfleet mission still better than
if
the best.
If there's a Warp 10, there has to be a Warp 1.
You guys, I looked it up on the Intergalactic Meteor Database, and I found that Ensign Johnson served on 3 other ships. You'll never guess what they are.
USS Jag.
The USS Porno.
USS Cop Rock.
Wow. Extra pips for all of you.
Nacelles are great, guys, but I can't get over pylons.
And now, the conclusion.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Green Shirt and Newbie's Trek Through the Next Generation. I am Cameron, who has only been masquerading as a nerd because secretly I'd never watched TNG growing up. But here to help me mutiny against my past mistake, the man whose beard color can only be described as blood wine stained red, Rob Campbell.
Kapla, and a mutiny on all of your houses.
Well said. The first person to volunteer to give James Spader his health and safety inspection. Bobby Blue.
Any orifice, anytime, Jimmy. Anytime, any orifice.
And returning to the guest seat today, the man who's got a lot of explaining to do, from the bricked pit, Josh.
Well, what do you think about that? Thanks for having me.
Hey. Thanks for being back.
Meanwhile, ready to throw any of us in the brig after a bad joke, it's producer John T. Bolds.
Just letting you know that when you weave a web, it's always kind of a tangled web you're weaving. It's
kind of the point. Otherwise, it's just a thread.
You're tangling stuff. That's how it works. Yeah.
It's the nature of the web.
Yeah, exactly.
The web of this podcast, just so you all know, that me and John, when we pretend to hate each other, we're actually on the same team and we're conspiring against all of you. Or are we?
Yeah, we need to find out who our each other's allies are in the podcast.
That's right.
They're crocheting a long, long, like, bedspread of love.
We're making a dream catcher.
Yes.
The tangled web of a merkin they've crocheted.
I've always said our podcast is an audio dream catcher.
Although you're going to say it's an audio merkin. I was like, that's fair.
Audio, yeah. That's inaccurate.
I should have said that. Let me take that again. I always said that our podcast is an audio merkin. Here we go. Back to you.
Well, Josh, welcome back to this podcast. I hope you are here to defend Baron's captaining style just as much as you did Jellicoe's last time you were here.
Oh. That dude's not a bad dude. I like it. All right.
Who do you like more, Jellicoe or Baron?
He's just doing his job, man.
That's right.
Doing a job.
Well, it's an unruly crew. You got to keep them together somehow.
Baron's bad at his job a lot.
I have fundamental issues.
Everybody is lying to him. Nobody on his crew is who it seems. Like, every single person is undercover.
He's pretty gullible.
It's because he accepts everybody. He is like, oh, you're on my ship? Okay, you're on my ship.
Yeah. And then he kills himself.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Spoiler alert.
I have thoughts on that as well.
He seems old. How did he survive this long?
I know. He doesn't have... He doesn't know what's going on at all.
Yeah.
he's sundowning.
And it starts right in this first scene where they're, do we need to ask Josh? We already know his history. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me.
I'm trying to jump right in and I want to find out what's up.
Well, we got to talk titles. We got to talk titles, Rob, because this episode is called Gambit Part 2, Gambit Harder. But I think we can come up with something else. What else do we have? And I can start with mine because they're not good at all. So, I don't know, they're all right, but I thought, you know, why not just go with the classic action movie, you know, as seen by Alien and now Twister, and just call it Gambits, because there's a lot more gambiting going on than this one, than part one, for sure.
Yeah.
So I thought that, or we could just go also, again, a classic, Indiana Picard and the Search for the Gallstone.
Oh, nice.
Good.
The writers knew what they were doing with that name, right?
That's good.
The Stone of Gall. Yep.
I didn't even think about that.
And I bet Patrick Stewart and Harrison Ford are both figuring out their gallstones right now, too.
Probably.
Mine, I'm going to call mine back to our original Captain Picard week, the Picard by the Yard, and I'm just going to call it Picard. Because it's him and his pirate, so.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
I like it. I came up with good one-liners and several bad staged punches. or Mind Over Matter. that's a nod to the last like 5 minutes, I guess.
Okay.
Worf, number one, but why? And then I came up with just dun dun duns, several of them, and I won't do the duns over and over and over again. But there's at least three, right?
Oh yeah. I wrote that in my notes. I do have a dun 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 written down in my notes, so it's accurate.
Josh, any?
Yeah. So first one was Worf themed. It's Worf, the little Klingon that couldn't. Worf sucks so bad in this episode.
No, he gets it. I like his arc in this one.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of him.
Somebody should just follow him around and go womp womp. Like
yeah, well maybe he's done womp womp womp.
He turns it around. Halfway through, he turns it around and then we get a nice little he does a good job.
They say they save Worf a little bit in this episode, but I get it. I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other is Picard and Riker's LARPing weekend.
Nice.
I have nothing. So let's
move on. You have nothing?
I didn't think of anything.
Oh, that's okay.
You can't force these things.
Nope.
I mean, you can if you're you guys.
That's what I did. I forced.
Obviously, as evidenced by the last 10 example.
You should. We should force them.
No, everyone was great. We jump right into the middle of things, right where we left off last time. I did think they pulled one over on us because I had to go back and rewatch the last one, and I was like, didn't they end on an explosion? Didn't a nacelle explode? But
no,
nope, it was just a lens flare they ended on.
It's a pretty funny start to have two ships having a slap fight. There's both of them, and like this is where Baron's like. This is where he's like, this is where he's the first, evidence of him sucking is like, he doesn't realize that this ship that can blow them up instantly is like, oh, it's barely hurting us. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scratching us. And
exactly.
Yeah. Pretty funny that both are fighting at 25%.
And it seemed like Picard was just straight lying about the damage. He's like, oh my God, like we lost five decks. And he's like, oh, we did. Oh, like,
yeah.
He didn't look at a screen or.
All right.
He's like the most trusting pirate ever.
He sharpied the screens. He's like, look at all this damage. He drew a little explosion.
He comes from the planet of the space hippies. And like, he was like the rebellious one.
Oh, that's a good.
Yeah. Now I just want to see Worf at the firing panel just going like, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? And he's firing the...
That's funny.
But yeah, this is why the ending of the last one and now the beginning of this one don't really work for me, because it's exactly like it wasn't a mystery what was going to happen at the end of the last one. I was like, oh, I bet Picard's not going to blow up the Enterprise. Oh, look, he didn't blow up the Enterprise. Like, all right, so let's just continue with the episode.
It's not that kind of cliffhanger.
One long episode.
I know. It's mostly just like a movie length,
It was a very pale imitation of Riker saying to fire on the Borg ship with Locutus, it was like, it was going for that vibe, but like the stakes were much lower.
Like how many people back in the day thought, well, that's the end of Enterprise. I guess the rest of the season is just going to be following Baron and this crew around.
The same people that thought Jellicoe was taken over for Picard.
Except at least the Jellicoe episodes they had more substance. Like, Gambit Part 1 was, that's why I gave it a 2.5. I was like, come on. Like, this is so bad.
So I didn't watch Part 1 because I erroneously thought that Major Barrett previously on Star Trek would bring me up to speed. And all it did was I felt like I had either ingested hallucinogens or was having a stroke, because it was like... It threw out plot points, and I was like, I don't know what's...
Yeah, like, Picard's dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, Josh, there's probably a lot of things that they threw out that you thought tied into the first episode that don't.
They don't.
Because no one's plan or plot makes sense. I remember last episode, John was like, what is their plan? I don't understand. And at the time, I was like, I don't know, John, they're just trying to survive. It seems straightforward to me. But this episode, I think maybe some of this episode was bleeding in, because this is where I'm just like, I don't know what any of these people's end game is.
I had a real problem with the fact that, I wanted to know what the Federation's border policy is, because, you have this group of pirates that, want to get money. It's like all they have to do is go to a Federation planet and they can have whatever they want and get on a holodeck and pretend to be pirates. Like it didn't, shouldn't make any sense. Like, why do you need money?
That's true.
Just immigrate to the end.
Yeah.
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 Unless that there's like, you know, some like hardcore, like, but we don't, you know, we don't know.
we don't know what it takes to immigrate into the right. Federation.
The hazing rituals are brutal.
Because it's not like he was a Cardassian or anything. Yeah. They were just like some schmuck aliens, you know, that nobody would even notice.
Do you think the Enterprise has a name for when they, in the future going forward, when they want to fire their phasers at 25% to pretend that they're attacking? It's like the Barclay maneuver or like the Worf or the Worf maneuver. Like, hey, we're naming it after you, Worf. Congratulations. It's the Worf maneuver.
Like, it's really weak, Worf, just like you.
Brutal.
They call it like the half barrel maneuver.
Yeah, that was low.
Half barrel, Worf. Yeah. What?
Set phasers to blue barrel.
A full barrel kills you. A half barrel just paralyzes you.
Yep.
So I'm over here thinking, like, what would a show just around this crew be on Baran's ship going around? And that just made me want, like, a 90s style sitcom opening for them where, like, Fleetwood Jack turns around and leans on the console and smiles. And
yeah.
Baran, like, almost pushes the buttons, like, oh.
Yeah, that's good. Somebody make that.
That is good. Yeah.
It would be a good addition to TGI Friday. So like, yes. They could have the Webster crossover again. Like, he's canon in the TNG universe. So.
There is a certain age of person who's going to get that reference.
I know. Like, if your listeners haven't noticed, I'm old. especially for internet, I'm like ancient.
Internet ancient. You're older than the internet.
I am. I'm an elder of the internet.
I like when they're watching the Riker footage to see if he has a hidden message, and I'm wondering what they're looking for. Like, is he trying to wink in Morse code, or if he has something shaved in his beard, like a message shaved into his beard? But I don't know what they're looking for. I wonder.
I thought that was a really weird scene, especially because they haven't done a great job in, like, seasons, plural, like, proving that Deanna Troi even has a special gift anymore. Like, why?
Right. It's been a long time, it feels like.
So I was like, you didn't pick up on anything on Riker's, like, subtleties? Well, maybe that's why your relationship ended.
You didn't realize Picard was on the ship? I don't know if she should have been able to, but she could have at least known someone was really being duplicitous over there.
Can she pick out individuals that she can't see on the
bridge? She can pick out different races. You would think, like, people she's familiar with, she would.
But she feels their emotions. I don't know. That's a weird,
like, grade. When I close my eyes and you kiss me, Rob, I know it's you kissing me.
That's
like,
a beard.
We're that familiar. Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
That's how I know Riker's kissing me. But I was reminded of, like, something we don't see a lot anymore is the competency porn of TNG, you know, because they're like, let's do all this crazy stuff to see if there's an encoded message. And there it is. And nobody just questioned it. They're like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, there was a little bit because, like, Troi is like, oh, this might be the code. And Data's like, perhaps. And Troi's like, yeah, motherfucker, that's what I just said. Might be the code. And then Data's like, let me sit down and I'll take over from here. A little Data-splainy.
He's got some attitude this episode.
Yeah, a little power mad. Oh, yeah. I think he downloaded his Jellicoe subroutine.
He did.
I kept thinking, I was like, does he have his emotion chipped out? Because he's being fucking mean.
Like, Jellicoe.execute. Yeah. He might have slipped
it
back in.
I'm glad you said that because later in this episode, when we get there, I had a similar kind of like, what the fuck?
No, Worf totally deserved it. Worf scoffed at him.
He did, but I swear he sounded just like when he was Jellicoe's little puppet.
Bitch.
He was like, oh yeah, now I see.
He was a jelly bitch. That's his jelly bean like flavor.
But it was all good though.
Data had to assert control. He is in a new role. He has to. You go on there. You kill one person on the bridge, so everybody does. You know, knows not to fuck with.
It's not prison.
It's prison rules. The captain's ship is like being a prisoner.
Data takes the lunch tray and beats Tasha Yar to death.
They're all trapped in here with me.
We used to have another host on this podcast until I had to kill them and assert dominance.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Marcy?
Now I'm really nervous.
No, I've already done it. I don't need to do it again. That would be...
But what if I want to be the top guest? Do I have to kill another guest or have to kill someone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck killing Ramon. He's unkillable.
He's scrappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also just those gentle eyes, you'll feel terrible.
So speaking of asserting dominance, there's just one random shot where Riker steps up and gets really close to Fleetwood Jack, just rubbing arms. And I'm like, are you guys at that level of comfort between each other yet where you can stand that close?
Are you talking where they're conspiring at the little...
No, it's just when they're leaving the Enterprise. It's the 4-3 framing.
Yeah. Maybe they told Jonathan, you can't do your leg thing. And he's like, fine, I'm going to get really close. Yeah. In a different way.
I can't put my leg on him. I'll put something else on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to really struggle.
His elbow. I'm talking about his elbow, guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you have the nickname still, because I had completely forgotten everybody's names, and I didn't really,
Now we can do part two nicknames. Do you have new nicknames?
No, I couldn't. I had to make up dumb nicknames because I was like, I don't remember the rat face guy. Worm tongue. I don't know.
Rat face isn't even in this episode.
No, I was thinking I want to say the mullet guy, but it seems like they all have mullets.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I couldn't remember anybody's names. It was tough.
Are we moving past the wait, are we still in kind of the beginning 3 minutes?
Riker punches Picard's at. What you got?
We forgot the subharmonic analysis. So we move past Geordi's, I can figure out the encoded code.
It's just such a boring plot point that I was like, okay, let's let's get on to...
Dude, Bobby wants to get deep in the harmonic resonance. Let's hear about it.
Go read a book, Geordi. Get out of here.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm like, wow, we're spending a lot of time on this code. I'm not saying in this episode, in our recording, but in the episode, I was like, wow, we are still talking about figuring out this code from Riker, huh? Okay.
That really didn't amount to much of anything.
No, it didn't.
Well, the code was from Picard, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
I like there was a message hidden in the sound waves or whatever.
It was from Galen, not Picard. We're not
Galen. That's what I have.
He's so deep in character. I can't even call him Picard.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like Picard at all.
Can I point out the fact that this would be Norman Schwarzkopf or somebody going undercover, somebody super famous, super in the
recognizable.
Military?
And yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even put a fake scar on him or something or make him look like a Romulan. He's just Picard.
Put a wig on
As soon as he showed up, they should have been oh, it's the Butcher of Wolf 359. Yeah. We all know who this guy is. Yeah.
Hey, it's Lacutus. It's the... Yeah. Yeah. This dude is all over CNN.
Yeah.
No. I'm Galen. I just look okay.
Who's Andy Kaufman's alter ego?
Tony Clifton.
Yeah. Picard is going full Tony Clifton here.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I would respect that if he actually did go full Tony Clifton. Yeah.
Riker is his
Hello,
Bob Zamuda.
Everybody.
Well, yes. Riker was really enjoying himself undercover or pseudo. Oh, yeah. Man. He was...
Riker's grins are some of the best parts of this episode.
I don't think as much as Picard is, because Picard's I'm going to talk really kind of different.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about his different accent last time. It is interesting, yeah.
That's what threw people off.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It throws me off, that's for sure.
That's not a French-British accent.
Yeah.
You couldn't possibly be Picard.
It's funny, because he is, I don't know, he is kind of acting badly. He's kind of his character as Galen. He's not very good. I don't quite buy it, but maybe that's the point.
Right.
It's weird.
That's why I called it LARPing. They're not great actors.
Right.
No.
They're actors acting like they're acting, but
I almost wish that they were acting like they were good actors.
Yeah.
I wish that they...
I don't know. They've got their moments. I think when Riker's talking to Baran in his office, he's
you
got
mean,
some really
you
good
mean
stuff.
Seducing Baran in his office, basically?
Well, okay, we're going to talk about the copulation that did or is about to happen in that scene.
Oh, because they cut to commercials, so you just assume they had sex?
Every time.
Uh-huh.
Anytime I see an ad for detergent, I'm just thinking boinking is going
that's
on.
That's what's happening off this.
But let's get to some of those punches Bobby was talking about earlier, because Pigalen gets up and one of his first gambits, he's like, I am just going to be as mean as I can to my number one, and Riker rolls with right into his face.
Betrayed them in order to save yourself. You used to be just a second-rate officer. Now you're a traitor and a coward. How does that feel?
I don't know. How did that feel? Enough!
How do you like them apples? I got her number.
Yes, that was the best part of the episode because that was, that was the most naturalistic I've ever heard Frakes be. Like, I don't think he was acting there. I think he was taking all of his frustration out on
6 years. Six years I've been second billing. Yeah.
Frakes was fucking awesome in this.
Yeah.
Well, also, I don't think Josh knows that in the last episode, Picard punched Riker and then kicked him while he was down. So.
You should have watched Gambit 1 because you would have been like, oh shit, this is Riker's. Yeah, bitch. Oh.
I misunderstood the assignment and I ended up watching X-Men 97. So.
Nice.
Fair. Yeah.
Worthwhile. So.
Yeah. Do you think it ever occurred to Riker to like kick him in the nuts instead? That would have been a little too far.
No, like, I mean, just the like, how'd that feel? Like, that was fucking like Riker at his best. Like, Riker is like so, Jonathan Frakes in actually both of these parts is so good. Mm-hmm. I love him. I have like zero complaints about him at all.
Yeah,
I agree. I think he really likes, I think Frakes loves doing stunt work because every time he punches someone, like, he's got kind of like a new little bit of flair he gives it. I don't know. This one was like a really short like jab right to his face.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then why did Picard go flying back? Like, he should have been like,
yeah, to sell it.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a WWF wrestling. You know, like.
Do you think that's Patrick Stewart just like being like, boosh, off a little trampoline? Or is that like, I mean, like that punch was really bad.
Picard should have bladed, you know, like professional wrestlers like will have cut their foreheads for blood. Like, oh, God, you know, like.
He's staggering against the rail. Riker picks up a chair. He just over the back.
Top rope.
Of all the episodes we needed the Rock in, this was it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Picard puts on his luchador mask, his Lucha Libre mask.
I love that idea.
Yeah, I love it.
All the weird crew members in the back just start chanting.
Oh, yeah. All the weird crew members could have just been luchadors. Like,
yeah, yeah, they could be. Yeah.
Planet Lucha.
That'd be fun. That would have been a misstep, probably, to try to shoehorn luchadors.
The luchadorians
probably wouldn't have to have been handled with any kind of respect.
Fair point. I think in Ireland it's still illegal to show certain episodes of The Next Generation.
The Big Lady.
It's a hate crime.
It's a long climb up that ladder.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So in the next scene, Picard is sent down to the warehouse and T'Lara comes in and she kind of throws out this one line that I think has huge implications. She says, "I've watched you handle the weapons before," because she's accusing him of doing exactly what he did. How many ships has Picard blown to smithereens while pretending to be a smuggler? Because apparently it's a number higher than one.
Yeah. Mm. Again, the timeline of this is all screwed up, but it's like, man, Baron really trusted Galen fast on his pirate ship.
Yes.
Super fast.
And then Riker and then like, and the Vulcan and Jesus.
He doesn't want to be a pirate. He just wants buds.
Well, Galen really he trusts too much his neck taser phaser.
Yes, that's true.
You know, he's like, I can do whatever I want.
That's actually a fair point. Like, yeah, when you have a bomb strapped to people's necks, you expect them to act right.
Okay. He's gotten a little lazy because that's really,
Yeah, but then at the end, they just like, I inverted the thing. Or it was like, well, couldn't you have done that?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Couldn't you have done that like way before even Riker got on the ship? But whatever.
Ended the episode an hour ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. We'll get to it, obviously, but. Yeah. The fact that Galen doesn't know what's happening, I was like, yeah, that tracks 100%. Like, he hasn't known what anything is.
But not Galen Baron. Or? Baron.
Baron. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Baron.
That guy's like he only needs people to like fly the ship. But
he is incompetent.
He's like, what is he even? He's just. Well, I don't even actually understand why he's the captain.
He's got a pit of despair device.
He's got the ship.
People's necks. Yeah.
He was a middle manager, and he was given he is a middle manager still.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
He failed upwards.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even really understand the importance of the heist.
Not really.
He was like, oh, yeah, we're going to steal this thing and get money. Like,
yeah.
Are you going to Wikipedia that dude before you?
the piece that tests correctly is like a 3D printed like castle turret. It looks like a little.
It does.
It looks like you put like your Isengard.
I thought you put your dice in it. You seen those like your dice rollers? You put in a tower, your dice tower. That's what I thought.
Yeah, definitely looks like a miniature one of my friends would have painted in high school.
Nice. That's right.
High school.
So then we.
I got several of them here in the pit.
Heck yeah!
The pit is a lonely place.
Speaking of which, in your pit, Josh, I really like that artwork behind. Did you do that?
Oh no, actually my children did that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, Jellico.
Oh man. You can see there's an elephant. It all makes sense.
That's great.
Hell yeah.
Bobby is tickled right now. So speaking of getting tickled, we cut to Baron's office, and I don't know what, if it's the framing, the way Riker is lounged, but it looks post-coital to me. I don't know. Was that just me?
It occurred to me.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, see, because it's sexy Riker. He's in the Ian Malcolm pose from Jurassic Park. He's just kind of
yes, that's what he is.
Hard not to picture sex from that. You know?
I'm surprised he wasn't in the Risa robe, because that is the vibe he was giving off.
Yeah, he does stay in a Starfleet uniform. He should have dressed up at some point.
Yeah.
And then these chairs, bronze chairs. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is up with these? He looks like a small child when he sits down and his feet are dangling. What is happening? Okay, John noticed the chairs. Apparently everyone else needs to go back.
It was a strange choice. It was a very strange choice.
The mini recliners? What are you talking about exactly?
Lazy Boys? Yeah,
he sits in it, and he looks tiny. He looks it's like a little chair.
Yeah. Like he's in a dentist chair or something?
Like he's Lily Tomlin on the big rocking chair?
That's the image I was trying to think and of. Thank the you, truth. Rob. Yes, okay. 100%.
They're in there. They're discussing career goals. They're talking about Riker's future career goals. Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years on my ship?
Yeah, it's like a job interview.
I don't know. Robin, is that? I don't know what our mission is. What are we?
Well, yeah.
What's your biggest weakness?
This thing in my neck?
I'm too good. Yeah. I'm too good.
Too good at stealing.
I'm too passionate.
How did Galen know about Riker's career if he was not supposed to be Picard? That was one thing that kind of bothered me.
Yeah, in the first episode, he talks about, like, oh, you don't smuggle in this territory without learning a few things about Starfleet.
Right. Right.
About how everything's free and they have holodecks. We could just do this without any danger.
Yeah. Incredibly welcoming and forgiving.
Nobody has to be a hostage with a thing in their neck and just the whole crew. Like,
boy, I hate that Federation and their post-scarcity society. Makes me angry.
Well, they need something to spend at Quarks, you know? I mean, they need, you know, they got
so again, the Ferengi are the true evil in all of Star Trek because they keep money alive.
Right.
Just like Reaganomics.
Exactly.
Space Reaganomics.
Quarkonomics.
For Reaganomics, yep.
Quarkonomics. Don't throw Quark into that.
But yeah, I think both Riker and Fraser are doing some fine performancing here.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
He's had it, yeah. So Data does figure out the code, and okay, guys, I don't mean to get into the weeds here, but I'm going to get into the weeds. So it'll take the mercenaries 14 hours traveling at warp 8.7, but the Enterprise can do it in 5 hours at warp 9, 3/10 of a warp faster. I know it's exponential, but does that track?
John, did you figure out the math?
No.
Producer John, please do the math.
Come on.
They probably
John, that's why
do.
You're on the show. Come on, John.
All right, let me Google it up. Hang on.
Are you really going to do it? No, I'm joking with you.
Doesn't that poke a hole in the space ozone, though? So
not yet.
No. I'm always spoiling
uh-oh,
things.
Uh-oh, what? What?
Prank call.
One of my favorite lines.
Yes.
But yes, then we get, the best scene of these two episodes?
You mean talking about Worf and Data?
Worf and Data.
Insubordination?
Yeah, Worf's just being, like, he's doing what he would normally do. He would often,
I fucking love Data and Worf.
Well, I really like the conversation because at first I was like, yeah, Worf, you're right. You do this all the time. But then Data's like,
not anymore.
But
you don't.
Then you're not number one.
Not and, when you go to this role.
Riker never does that. And I was like, oh, yeah, Riker doesn't do that.
No, he really doesn't. I really thought back. I was like, there's got to be a point where he's like, Picard. And I was like, I can't think of one fucking time.
Only when he was in like that weird like aliens holodeck future.
Which is not real. So
that was not real. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look like the warp lines up with what the charts say.
Oh boy.
5 hours is a little too fast. Yeah.
Well, that takes two
Fuck
points off the score.
Fuck this episode. It's dead to me. Just joking.
I think we've got some lines from the Worf Data scene.
We do.
So good.
You?
So good.
If you do not feel capable of carrying out this role, I will assign it to Commander LaForge and return you to tactical. I would not enter it into your record as a reprimand, simply as a transfer.
I would prefer to remain at my current post.
Then I expect you to conform to the guidelines I have laid out.
Aye, sir.
Dismissed. Mr. Worf. I am sorry if I have ended our friendship.
The feels every time I've heard him say that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's too bad you didn't do the rest of that sound clip because, like, it's...
Worf respects it. Like, Worf's like,
but
yeah,
then
no,
also Worf says,
being
if,
a little,
if
it's my fault.
Yeah. It's that was like,
it's I who fucked up.
I just think that's probably to me the best part of this whole episode is just Worf and Data. Period. Yes.
I mean, this scene, at least specifically, it was just,
yeah. Well, I like it later when Worf has,
yeah,
when learned. You can see Worf like, going, oh. Nope. And then Data going, But that's something to consider later on. I mean, like, I just love, like, that is the best part of this whole episode to me, personally.
And Data does throw Worf a bone, which Picard never does. So I wonder if, like, for the rest of the season, Worf is just over there like, fucking how do we get Data back in the chair?
I did know, yeah, Data is a good captain. I think he'd be, very, very good captain. He knows, and I guess he was faking those emotions, but he was pretty hot.
That was part of my point. I was like, wow, he seems so much more emotional than we've seen him. And like you can hear it and you can see it in his face, even though he's being very strategical and he's doing like protocol and whatever. But
yeah,
to me, I haven't heard Data be that emotional since he was
had the emotion chip 5 episodes ago.
Yeah, when he was like kind of hijacked by Lore or whatever that was. Like, this is his own emotion saying like.
But Spiner doesn't overdo it either. I thought it was really good that he didn't. Yeah. His facial expression
was still
pretty. He didn't
go too far. Like that.
Right.
That
I liked it.
That says a lot about
Spiner. He still had a very stoic face, you know, like, so it was.
But a firm voice.
Yeah, it did read as.
Painful strategic. Though it's to me I've read some Data pain
artificial in a way, you know, because like,
well, we've talked about how even Picard will code switch with Worf, like with Worf he takes on a different demeanor than he does with other
aggressive
crew members.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is one of many times in this episode that Worf basically gets slapped down.
And you didn't even see the first episode where it's just constant slapping down.
Or you mean the whole 7 seasons?
He gets to DS9 and he finally gets to.
Yeah, thank God he goes people. To DS9. Because when you all, I know, when we get to the Worf in DS9, you like.
I can't wait to see how DS9 like, handles Worf.
It's the Worf you can't wait to see. I can't even spoil it, but like.
He's even worse dad than he is on the Enterprise.
No, that's whatever. Yeah, maybe that's true. But at least he becomes like an integral part of a cast, which he deserves. And and I'm so excited about
this. This Worf isn't going to Stovacore. DS9 Worf has a shot, but like this dude is like, dude, get out of here, man.
Stovacore stacked this high with barrels. You don't want to come in here.
You need to go to wussy heaven, Worf.
Go to that human heaven. Go prance around with fig leaves and two fig leaves.
Yeah, it's shitty how they never give Worf his due justice in TNG. They never really do.
Well, he's very much the, like, we have to show how badass this new threat is by beating up Worf. But like mm-hmm. after like
but the, we've never established
right, but after the umpteenth thousand time, it's like, well, man, people are just picking on the whole universe is after this dude.
Yes.
That's right.
And how does like the head of security never have like a really good fight scene? Like that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so weird to me. It's
well, yeah.
Anyways, I mean, digress. Yeah.
You're going to cripple him with a barrel, not during a badass fight scene, a barrel.
You know that barrel anyway, wasn't
we
even
we don't need
full.
To relitigate.
That's the real.
It looked empty. And you saw it bounce off him like an empty barrel. Okay, so we go from the best scene of the episode to the scene's fine, but it's nitpicky, but Picard is in there, obviously afraid for his life. He's had some surprises. So, again, I'm wondering what those are. How many people in the crew has he killed? He's sitting with his back to
back
the door.
To the door. He's back
it's not like
to
he's
the door.
Not at a round table with a chair literally on the other side to face the door.
Clear sight line to the door. His response time is like 4 seconds. He's been shot 19 times by the time he spins around.
Yes. Well, that wouldn't work for the mise-en-scene of the yeah. scene, though.
It's very fun seeing him twist, but still.
It works. The blocking doesn't work that way.
No. You're supposed to believe he's playing this five-dimensional chess game, and he can't even.
The chair on the other side of the table is oversized. It's one of those giant chairs. Oh. He doesn't want to swing his feet like a toddler.
He was looking into the lens of the camera so he could see.
Yeah, right. That's right.
He was breaking the fourth wall. There are four walls.
Yeah. That's good.
But yeah, he does get some good lines here.
Here we go.
Had some unpleasant surprises. Will, this isn't a good idea. Baran might grow suspicious.
As a matter of fact, it was Baran who sent me here. He told me to pretend to be friendly with you. Help you organize a mutiny so that he can determine who your supporters are in the crew and then eliminate them. Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Oh.
Has there ever been a more perfectly crafted line for a specific actor than that for Patrick Stewart? Sure. He's never enjoyed saying a line more than that.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
This also supports the theory of Baran as the middle manager, because like he's not directly, he's like, you go be friends with this guy, you go kill him. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you yourself? Oh, I can't get my hands dirty. Corporate doesn't like that.
How many times is he the architect of his own demise? Like, he sent Riker to go be his friend, which is perfect for them to plot and scheme against Baran, and of course, later killing himself with the zapper. But
yeah.
He's always set himself up to fail.
He's like, you will prove your loyalty by killing Galen. I'm like, but he's not even suspicious that Galen is Starfleet. So why would having Riker kill someone he clearly doesn't like?
Yeah.
Some random smuggler prove his loyalty.
It proves that he's not Starfleet.
Galen and Baran don't like each other.
It's already established that Riker's not good Starfleet, though. Like,
yeah,
he's already been court-martialed a couple times.
Once he crosses that line, I think he can call him like, oh, yeah, he's not. He's no longer good at two-shoes, for sure.
I don't know.
With Baran, it's not if there's a banana he's going to slip on. It's where is it at?
Oh, my God.
He's putting the banana down.
Where did Baran put it to slip on it?
It's like there should be banana skins everywhere, and the audience is waiting to watch which one.
And he's wearing banana-colored glasses, so he just can't see.
He's wearing banana slippers.
Yeah. He's eating a dozen bananas. Every scene is eating a banana and leaving the peel somewhere for him to slip on later.
And just continuously surprised that he's slipping. My God! I thought I'd prepared for this.
John said he wanted the Ocean's 11 version of this story, so he would be the lioness just eating every scene.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Romulan uncovers Picard's real identity.
Well, just before that, though, Picard Galen is going to go. He's going to go rouse up that mutiny. And I wanted a montage, because at first it was interesting. Like, oh, he's talking to this guy. Okay. And then that's the only person.
It was very RPG session, because he's like, hey, what about a mutiny? That guy's like, okay.
I'll do it if Talera does it.
Yeah.
And that, which never comes into play.
Right.
Like, it kept. What?
Yeah, you don't think they're talking on like the incel is not never talking at all. Like all those other people, when at the end they're like, who wants to stand with me or him? And they all join him. It's like, none of that. There's gossip. People will talk. Like, you know what I mean?
I thought that would have set up like when they all cross the line at the end there, that Talara, because Rat Guy says like, I'll follow Talara. And so I thought she would be the first to like join the mutiny and then the others would join her. So that would have been a reason for this scene, but you're right. It doesn't have much reason.
And then at the end of the next moment with when Talara reveals that she is a spy, she says, trust me on this. I will destroy this entire ship and everybody on it to stop that device from being activated. I don't know if this was a purposeful red herring, but again, sets up some nice stakes and drama that never come into play.
No, and it's such a long conversation, too.
It is a really long conversation.
Long scene.
I bought it 100%.
Sure, yeah.
Because you have to have Picard fooled.
Yeah, it does help fool.
You need
Picard.
To see Picard fooled. Yeah.
I guess. I mean, the rest of the long conversation, I thought was...
He has to convince Picard that...
Convincing.
That we'll destroy this. We have to destroy this powerful weapon.
Yeah. No, I get
And that's
that.
The only way to get Picard on board, for sure.
But it sets up a dun-dun-dun that never duns.
Yeah.
But yes, to John's point, this is the scene where I was like, oh, this episode is 80% two people in a room talking.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that happens in many parts in this episode, actually.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of two people spouting exposition at each other.
But I think it's actually done well in this episode. In other episodes, it's not
I mean, it's not
like part
terrible,
one,
but
horrible. Part two, you're doing better.
Yeah, I mean, it's not The Wire. It's not like, not as complex as.
Yeah.
It wants to be. It thinks it is.
Right.
Yeah. We got a line from that scene here.
There was even a time when we used our telepathic abilities as a weapon. A time when we learned to kill with
mind bullets. That's telekinesis, Kyle.
Oh, I see. Mind bullets. That's good.
Oh my God, that's great.
You should be acting with Picard and Riker, Bobby.
We'll kill them with gallstones.
Oh, wow. Yeah, gallstones, the stone of
At
gall.
At least my references now aren't the oldest.
We'll kill them with rickets. With consumption.
Before we move on, can I say something about T'Pol?
Please.
Okay, like, when she's talking about eradicating, like, all influence of other cultures... For me, it was like, okay, I get that. Okay, like, there's been lots of purity, segregation, and separatism movements in the 20th and 21st century and definitely other centuries. But I was like, but does that mean, like if you're really a separatist, you'd be like, well, I'm never eating sushi again? Like how much cultural eradication, like, all cultural eradication, is that even possible? Is that even possible?
I believe these Vulcan purists—that's what they want.
You expect an ideologue to be rational?
You think you think that Vulcan can like totally eradicate any cultural influence on?
I think that's why they're extremists. They probably want to like.
But I'm just saying, like, ideology. Do you think that could actually happen? Like, could you get rid of I've had pasta. You know, it is.
It's kind of like the butterfly effect in time travel. Like, yeah, their culture is inextricably changed.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I don't know if any of you remember the HBO original movie, The Second Civil War, from back in like the mid-90s. But there's a great scene where the governor who's trying to secede from the U.S., basically like very prescient to today, like build a wall with Mexico and stuff like that. You know, he's getting ready for work one morning after he's announced his secession. And well, what do you want for breakfast? He's like, the usual. They're like, okay, fajitas. Got it. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want your fajitas. You can't eradicate that from your wants.
And I don't know if you saw the TNG two-part episode Birthright.
Nice.
Anyway,
my nickname for T'Pol was MAGA May. So
I just came up with a nickname for T'Pol. I'm going to call her T'Pau, the singer of A Little Bit of Heart and Soul.
Oh, is that the band name for that song?
I feel we've made a T'Pau reference before.
That song is by T'Pau. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked about
T'Pau.
Yeah, we talked
song.
About T'Pau because there was a character named T'Pau. Or T'Pau. A ship named T'Pau, I think. Yeah.
That's right.
Every other Vulcan is T'Pau or T'Pol or
yeah,
yeah,
ridiculous.
I'm not sure it's a good idea, marketing wise, to have like a an apostrophe in your name, but
I mean, they were umlauts in the 80s, so I think apostrophe is forgivable.
That's right.
You can't mix them.
Oh no. Never the two shall cross.
Are these supposed to be Vulcan Nazis? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nazis, but certainly isolationist.
They want to get rid of the non-pointy-eared, non-bowl-cutted Vulcans.
Yeah, they just
instead of blonde hair, blue eyes, they're looking for a specific ear shape.
Bowl cut, pointy ears, yeah.
Yeah.
Your ears aren't pointy enough. You're from South Vulcan with this.
Your eyebrows must reach a certain kind of
What kind of Vulcan are you? Yep.
It's gotta be acute to a certain point.
You gotta have the cage version of Spock's eyebrows, the real devil eyebrows, or you're out. They're old school.
No. Were the Nazis trying to get rid of fajitas too? Is that that's what I'm coming away with from this conversation?
The Nazis never would have happened if they had fajitas. That's
probably smart.
Maybe not. Yeah. I mean,
I think Archduke Ferdinand was going out for fajitas when he was assassinated. So that's where you trace it all back to. I know my history.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's 90% accurate.
And Benjamin Sisko was there.
Okay.
You'll learn all about that.
I don't understand that yet. But I also, what I don't understand is T'Pol's plan. Why did she join this crew a year ago?
I don't know.
She's just the buyer.
Yeah.
Why didn't she just hire someone to go around and collect the... I don't understand what her plan is at all at any point in this episode.
I didn't think about that at all. And I think maybe we're not supposed to.
Weird. This is definitely an episode you are not supposed to watch twice.
My rating for this episode is actually low. I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good episode. Now I'm like, it's crap.
I had a good time. I still like this episode.
I liked it a lot after the first watch. By the second watch, I was like, I don't know, guys.
I'm starting to get mad about this now. Like,
yeah. That, like, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, this is underrated two-parter. I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure it is. Rated. I think it might be about accurately
rated. Pretty. It's fun.
Did any of you watch them back-to-back, part one and part two? Like, just watch it as the longest, most boring, weird movie you've ever seen?
It's not that boring. It's a little convoluted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's boring. I think the second part is much better.
This scene got a little boring.
Having not watched the first episode, it was about 30 minutes in before I realized. I was like, oh, Picard faked his death?
Right.
Well, the writers also forgot about that, Josh, because they don't know.
The recap was bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad recap.
The recap was nonsensical. I really was like confused after that.
Yeah.
Why was his DNA squirted all over that wall in that bar? I want to know. Like, did he?
That was last episode, Bobby.
Did he self emulate or
DNA squirting? Yeah. I'll have to go back and watch.
Don't fuck you, TNG. Never skip a squirting episode. I mean, what happened though? I mean, did they ever explain it?
He got thrown against the wall and scraped his face or some.
That's it.
Some DNA got on. Yeah.
Oh, he's.
They didn't find like a liter of blood on the wall, just some DNA samples.
Oh, all right.
All right. So, anyway, guys, let's get, because some good stuff is coming up.
Yes, some good stuff
is coming up. Let's meet the best Klingon ever.
Yes.
Shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. IMDb minute. 1 second.
I forgot. Of course, he's the second IMDb. I remember the Vulcan.
You remember the minister? Oh.
You're talking about James Worthy?
Hold on. Let's look up gallstones here. Okay. They're hardened deposits of digestive fluid. They can form in your gallbladder.
God, that sounds painful.
We're looking at James Worthy. He plays Coral.
Or
Coral. Coral!
I love this Klingon character, actually.
He's a lot of fun.
It's one of my favorite Klingon characters.
I remember James Worthy. He is a basketball player.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah, because he was tall as fuck.
Yeah. Well, he's also standing on... It's funny, because, like... So he's standing...
He does have tall boots.
He was still super tall.
I swear he's like standing on his like on the runway of his ship when Worf is like looking up like, whoa, he's so tall. I'm like, yeah, he's standing on like.
But he steps off when we're in the ship with Beverly and he's still towering.
Yeah, and Troy and Worf are just dwarf. At that moment, I realized that they really should have cast every Klingon as either a basketball player or like a WWF superstar.
Yeah.
Like Klingon should have just been like hulking. Because that was such a good, just visually scene. Because like Troy looked just like, and she's like, oh, or not Troy, it was Beverly. And yeah, she's like, yeah, you know, we got to go to a safety. And it just, she looked so tiny. You know, yeah, I was like, yeah, wow, that's an intimidating Klingon. Unlike Worf.
She's also talking like he doesn't have like a translator. Are you,
well, he's acting, do like
you understand that we will do a safety and health check? We're going to, can you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
He may not have known he was on an episode of Star Trek. I mean, he was just cosplaying and they pulled him in.
But James Worthy does great.
Yeah, yeah, he's fantastic. He's awesome. And he sought out the role. Like, he wanted to be in, like, I always love the celebrity that's like, they become famous and they're like, oh, I've got some capital here. And they call him like, I want to be on Star Trek. Like,
well, yeah, he that only happened because he was like talking to somebody on a plane and he was like, oh, I kind of like Star Trek. I'm like, you should come on. It was like a Star Trek guy. And then it actually happened.
I imagine that it will happen every time I get on a plane. It hasn't yet.
Maybe he met somebody on Webster.
I was going to say, I assume that's how he got his role in 1987 on Webster as James Worthy. He plays James Worthy on 4 of his 8 credits. Webster, Star Trek Next Generation, In the House, Run for the Dream, The Gale Devers Story, Everybody Loves Raymond, Arliss, Men of a Certain Age, and Legends of the Lane.
So are we sure that James Worthy is not just a character? Maybe he's the Tony Clifton.
Didn't you all think that James Worthy did a pretty good job? Like, bring that guy back as a Klingon. Like, that's like the Klingon persona. I thought he was like...
They played to his strengths, too. They're like, don't say anything. Right. Just look like you could eat everybody in front of you. I can do that.
It is smart to just give him one line answers. It's a smart use of a non-actor.
When he poured out the fake blood wine, oh, man.
That's a baller move right there, right?
I was in heaven. Like, he just straight staring at him and pouring out the wine, like, F all of it.
I like that he kind of looked at the color and he was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, I thought the blood wine would be chunkier.
Yeah.
I thought it should have chunks in it.
Or at least put it in a Klingon mug. You don't think Worf has a fucking, like Klingon.
Worf drinks prune juice. That dude didn't drink blood wine.
Oh my god.
I think blood wine should be like beef stew.
Yeah.
I think he's just chugging beef stew.
I don't think it's actual coagulated blood.
Well, I'm not saying that's not what I'm saying. I feel like it looked like regular wine and most Klingon foods looks chunky and gross.
Mm. We've seen blood wine before, but
I don't remember.
Yeah, blood wine should make non-Klingons very sick from even tasting. And this looked like it was like apothecary or something. It was like, this is a blood wine blend. We've got different bloods involved. And
it's a rosé.
Yeah. we were put some ice cubes in it and have it after we play pickleball. Like,
this is the number one selling blood wine at Olive Garden.
Corral, when we first meet him, hangs up on Data, and thank God it's not Picard, because Picard would just blast that ship. I hate being hung up on. Destroy that ship. Data has the cool wherewithal to not get pissed
off.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Does anyone else think Troy is just kind of low-key really enjoying these antics, despite the fact that she believes Picard is dead and Riker's life is in serious danger?
She's having a great time.
Okay.
Maybe she did detect Picard on that ship and she just isn't saying it.
She's just like, oh, this will all work out.
Yeah,
I mean, she's not stupid. So yeah, maybe she's like, oh, okay, everything's cool. Or Picard's ghost is on the ship. So
no one on the cruise died before.
I know she has some R.I.P. weird Tasha. Like facial expressions in some of the scenes, where there's one particular, I think it's after Data says something to Worf, and she just like, they just hold the camera on her and she's like,
Yeah, she's kind of just like enjoying watching all the gambits going on.
But I don't think it's enjoyable. Yeah. I think she's looking at Data like, really? Okay, well, you're the captain.
She may have been frustrated that there was finally a commanding officer that she couldn't read their emotions or minds. And she's I don't know what the hell's going on.
I like that, but she also kind of like, there's a scene where she kind of like looks like she's rolling her eyes at Data like, what the fuck are you doing?
I didn't catch that.
I think she's rolling her eyes at the situation, which is because everyone is like pretending to do something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I was reading it that way.
Are we still on the bridge with her? Because I did want to mention the Worf. This is the Worf offers alternative solutions and is accepted. And like, this is the character
growth. We have that line.
Yep.
Good. There we go. Yeah.
However, the treaty does give us the right to conduct health and safety inspections on any ship in our space.
Health and safety inspections?
I am not certain that using this clause as an excuse to conduct a search would be consistent with the spirit of the treaty.
However.
Yes, sir.
However, if Corral wishes to contest our actions, he can file a protest with the Judge Advocate General's office.
Insert Jack theme there.
Is Data just testing him with that pause? He's like, is he going to accept my denial before I turn around and tell him it's okay?
Well, or Data maybe actually like going through like all protocol and everything memory he has. And he goes, I mean, that's what I think was like Data going, like he's like his brain is going through the whole records of Star Trek and going, actually,
I think he was giving Worf a moment to prove that he is grown.
Yes.
And it works. Well,
what I liked about the whole situation is it played out very much like the Cold War. Like everybody knew what was really going on, but they knew they had, you know, the Klingon knew he had to play along because it was just part of the game, you know. I thought that was like some really good stuff, and which is why like the pouring out the blood wine was so fantastic, because it was not subtle, but it was basically all he could do in the situation, be like, screw you guys, I know what's happening. Like,
it does now occur to me, who wanted the safety checks put into that treaty? The Klingons wouldn't want it, and why would the Federation, would they put it in there just for this situation where they're like,
just for the situation,
we're gonna put it in this just in case we ever want to pull them over and take it, tell them their taillights broken?
You don't know what weird ass bacteria Klingons are transporting back and forth across Federation space.
Have you ever seen a leaky warp core, man? It like, it leaves stains in the atmosphere.
Have you ever seen a Klingon Merkin? They are not clean. You have got to.
They're double.
Yeah, there's two. Yeah. There's two of them.
Twice the size.
So you only clean one of the Merkins. You don't clean the other Merkins. But the
Klingons are going to be like, okay, yeah, you're right. Our Merkins are gross. Put it in the treaty. I don't think they're going to agree to that.
It may be a standard thing.
I guess. It's like standard boilerplate.
Yeah, they went to legal.com and pulled down this tree.
Space legal. Spacelegal.com. Yeah. Legal.space.
It's legalwarp.com in the future.
Aren't they kind of still newly allied?
Yeah.
So you kind of, no?
80 years.
I mean, it's not like they're opening the shuttle and throwing de-lousing solution on them with a hose going.
And I think it's reasonable to say, hey, can we make sure your ship's not going to blow up in our space? Yeah. Like, are you going to irradiate?
Yeah. It just does ring of getting pulled over for a broken taillight and so they can illegally search your...
It's not honorable to read the fine print, Rob. They didn't know what's in there.
Mm. There's probably some, man, we need to meet some Klingon lawyers. That'd be really good. That'd
we
be
have in Star Trek 6.
Worf was the Klingon lawyer.
That's true.
Yeah.
I guess there have been Klingon law. There has been some Klingon trial type shit. So, right.
But can the Klingons do the same to the Federation? Oh, we want to do a health and safety check. Yeah.
That's smart.
If we're going through Klingon space.
I'm sure that's why they agreed to it, because they're like, the second you enter Klingon space, man, they're anal probing you. Like, and they don't even like suspect anything. They're just being dicks.
You just drive through. They got their tricorders out pointed at you the whole time. Yeah.
Josh, be fair. Say they're being double dicks.
They're being double dicks. Yeah.
Double dicks. And the anal probes are double shafted. No, and they don't care. They just.
That's not for our anatomy.
Push them in the one hole. I do want to point out that between this and the last DS9 episode, we are getting our fair share of just like dumb Klingon mercenaries. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I am here for it. So this mercenary, does anyone else feel like he's the protagonist of his own story, where this was just like the one final score he was going to do? And he's just like, son of a bitch.
I got two more days to retirement.
That's right. Me and the wife are going to move to Risa after this.
He did seem very over everything. Like,
he was over it the moment it started.
I would have totally watched The Adventures of Corral in Space.
Well, you know, he would have to escort like a baby not a baby Yoda, like a baby Yoda. Yeah, you know, yeah. He would end up with some sort of cute sidekick that he has to
baby and Boren. And...
like one of those, no, like that baby worm, space worm thing. He'll pick one of those up. And...
Barkley?
No.
The poodle with the antennas glued on it from the original series.
No, I'm talking the Leah Brahms, the worm that was like
suckling on
the ship. Yeah. Nacelles. Yeah.
Or maybe he de-evolved Alexander because we haven't seen him in a long time.
Now, him adopting Alexander, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But like, your dad sucks. Let's say.
Like a lone wolf and cub with Corral and Alexander.
All right. That's good.
Oh, yeah, Brandon Braga right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, back over on the mercenary ship. I like Galen Picard's acting here where he like worms his way onto the ship. He's like, I want you to go with him, Galen. He's like, yeah, fine by me. That I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Banana peel.
He's like, that's fantastic.
Everything he does sets him up. I swear to God.
There's no way that this will end with your ultimate demise. He's just setting up the dominoes the whole episode.
You just keep doing what you're doing, buddy. Don't worry about anything.
The Rube Goldberg machination of doom.
Now, you beaming over and shooting a bunch of your old crewmates and stealing something in their possession, that won't prove your loyalty. But killing this random smuggler, that's going to really do it.
You're obviously going to beam over to your ship and betray them again in person. on the giant warship that could destroy us within seconds.
How did they beam over there so easily? I don't understand this part at all.
It was in the code, man.
Is the Cosby girl the only person on the bridge when this happens? And she's like, "No, there's an alarm going off."
Well, she was struggling. I mean, she was struggling with like, "How do I do the controls?" I mean,
Speaking of an actor who just wanted to be on Star Trek.
Yeah, that's bad.
No.
Well, yeah. So they know that. Right. I mean, you know, the Enterprise. This is where Galen should have noticed that, like, oh, they didn't change Riker's codes or whatever. But again, it's just because he's incompetent. So, like,
what code? They didn't need his codes for anything.
What was were their shields not even up?
Their shields weren't even up. But they should have noticed a ship in proximity and raised shields. So I don't know how the ship got close.
Well, I think they want to allow Riker and Picard to do whatever they want, so they would leave their shields down for this very reason.
I think this is my biggest problem with the episode is that it does a great job setting up all these like obstacles that you're like, oh, how are our beloved characters going to overcome these? Oh, it's nothing. They just beam aboard.
They just did it.
Oh, he just switched the transponders. Oh, like everything is so easy to overcome. Like it's not even. Well, they spend more time on the obstacles than overcoming the obstacles.
I think one of those is rightfully ridiculous, which is the transponder, but this one I'm like, I do think that Data just like not chasing them because he's like, well, I don't think Riker wants us to chase him. I think he also knows that Riker wouldn't like
they normally leave their shields down as a default. They must take power or something. I don't know, because you always hear him say red alert, raise shields,
right?
But we should have seen the scene where they go, oh, look, that ship is coming, well, let's just ignore it and see what happens. They don't say that. We don't see Galen and Riker convince Dumbass Banana Man, how they're going to supposed to fly up on the Enterprise and just beam aboard. It should not be this easy to raid the Enterprise.
Well, he does say that we've got a former Starfleet officer,
and they say that in regards only to like the crew compliment. I know how to handle security,
but I think handling security constitutes how do we get on the ship. It's not just personnel.
They could have thrown one line about how they're able to cloak or something. I don't. Yeah, he's got codes. Oh, I know the codes to make us invisible to them. Something, anything.
Yeah,
I know a guy.
I know a guy.
You are way too passionate about this episode, Ken.
I mean, this is a Star Trek podcast. I think you need to.
I agree with Cam. I agree.
I wanted to like it.
I know.
There's so many good parts about it.
I did too. No, I wanted to like it too, and I was like, ah,
I did like it.
I liked the episode. I thought it was better. It's a better than average Star Trek episode.
I thought the narrative shortcuts were fine. Yeah. They were a little cheap, but they're fine.
There's still some more coming up.
I don't think it took two episodes to tell this story, but
sure.
I agree with that.
I was going to say, Rob, this one's for you. I think this should have been a one-parter.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
I think it should have been four parts.
This would have been a really fun,
it should have been
good,
a spin-off
crazy
series.
I wanted part one. I wanted a Gambit part one, and then a Gambit part one, part two, followed by a Gambit part two, part one, and a Gambit
the
part
Galen
two, part two.
Chronicles.
Yeah.
I want Picard pretending to be Galen going from planet to planet like the Incredible Hulk. Like, yeah. And yeah, solving problems because everyone thinks Picard is dead.
Which again, the writers seem to have forgot they had set up because no one
blinked an eye when he showed up.
Just cut to a close up of Beverly and Worf going, huh? Like, that's all you need.
I do give Riker mad props for straight up stunning Worf and Beverly. It's like he's like, sorry.
They're dead, right? Because you don't fly through the air and land on a hard floor without at least a concussion in Beverly's case. And Worf's straight up dead because we know his back is weak as shit. So,
yeah. Oh, well, God. I wonder if the stun, can you set like 25% stun and then they could act like they're falling? Like,
well, apparently that's what they did to Riker.
Right. Maybe they're just stunning them and they're luckily on board with just acting like they're
maybe still they threw themselves back.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he stunned the shit out of them. Like,
I think so.
Again, yeah. I think Riker was letting out all the aggression. Like, he got the punches, his captain. He got to shoot the doctor.
I will say they did cut to a nice close up of Picard when he shot Beverly. I was like, that's good. That's just one quick little moment. Mm-hmm. That's, you can interpret what you think he's thinking there.
Like, I really like that he apologized. Like, he's like, I'm really sorry about this, but you know, I'm faking being a bad guy.
Wait till our next breakfast, Beverly. It's gonna be phenomenal.
Oh. Poker night's gonna be really awkward next time.
They are sort of lucky that they didn't say like, oh, Picard, like. Yeah, I mean, I know. True. I mean, luckily they're all on board with like, oh, if he's in a different outfit, maybe we shouldn't say
that,
his name right away.
That
luckily,
strained credulity with me is like all of a sudden it's like they knew Riker was over there, and then they see Picard. Mm. Like, there's
they
no
knew Riker was
like,
undercover.
Like, I get that they could recover, be like, oh, he's undercover. He did this like last year. Like,
yeah. But again, they think he's dead. So it's not just like, oh, the captain's in a different outfit. Yeah. It's, oh, the dead guy is alive and in a different, like, they should just be thinking he's like a mirror Picard or something at this point.
Well, that's what I like about what Elle said in Gambit Part 1, that the reason like Gambit works is because they've been doing all these like a play in a play in a play in a play. Like,
they
there's
are
all this acting
their way
stuff.
Through all these gambits.
So that's why it works, is that maybe Beverly's like, oh shit, I'm such a good director that Picard is actually one up to me or something. Like, I like that about what Elle said in Gambit Part 1. No, I was like, oh yeah, this is off. The only reason it pays off is in Part 2.
Because even Data, and like, they're all play acting too with Corral. So yeah, no, it yeah, everything yeah, they said came in mm-hmm, yeah, hardcore in this part.
I just think Beverly would have been like, you could have just said you didn't want to have dinner with me.
But Bev, we're doing breakfast tomorrow. So. Wait till I tell you about these artifacts. No, Jean-Luc, fuck off.
And so this is another place where like, so what's Picard's in? Because this is perhaps the biggest titular gambit of the episode is, couldn't Picard have just come over, him and Riker stunned everyone else, take the artifact from Corral, say, hey, we've got an artifact. The extremist assassin can't get it. We're going to go turn this into the Vulcans. And worst case scenario, maybe the assassin gets away, but they don't have the weapon. Mm. Whereas taking the device, going back to the ship, now worst case scenario is exactly, you get killed. The assassin gets the weapon.
I agree.
I don't know about this plan.
Well, they did have bombs strapped to their neck. And who knows what that the is radius true, is for the
what is the range on the pain patch?
Oh, it's got to be within a star system.
Is it
least,
a bomb? It's just a like, I could kill you right
I
now.
I don't know. They never used it in this episode. So. They just had, so, they had little spiders attached to their neck that apparently was not good.
And actually, Baron, if he was smart, he would have put a microphone in all those things. And this wouldn't even been an episode. He'd be like, I knew it.
That's true.
Quick side story. I DM'd a Star Trek Adventures RPG for about a year and a half, and modern technology really screwed things up. It's like, what do you mean there's no CCTV footage? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, Federation assumes privacy. Like, that's bullshit. Starship's got cameras in every room. You're like, ah, well, okay, no mystery. You see the Klingon murder the ambassador. Like,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's like the cell phone in horror films. Yeah. Like,
until suddenly, like, Discovery is showing footage from a TNG episode, and suddenly there's a camera right there in front of Picard's face the whole time. Where was that camera?
Jake Sisko and the news crew are following around. Temporal news agency.
Oh, I love that.
I like that. That's a good premise.
Yeah.
Okay, so help me. Did Baran have a patch too? How did it kill Baran?
He did. Why would he? That's a fair point.
What happened? How did Picard switch the transponder? When did he switch the
You don't need to know. You don't need to know the how or when. You just need to be like, and Baran.
But he doesn't have a patch.
That's what a cool dude that guy was.
He could have maybe switched the transponder so one of the, so like Fleetwood Jack went down. That could have been interesting.
Yeah. No, this is the biggest problem scene. But he had a neck switch. He inherited this neck switch from the previous captain. Maybe he just can't.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he was a victim of it first. Okay, I don't know why he can't remove. I don't know why his button thing can't remove it.
Well, they never remove them, even after they kill him.
But yeah, remember, he was not the original captain.
That's a little, okay, that's a little something. All right.
So, but still, it's the switching of the transponder that I
take issue
with. I'm fine with that, but that's day one when you become captain. It's like, oh, take off the pain patch. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's not like you're going to forget that.
It must take some kind of special surgery or something.
Because they all leave them on. Into the end of the episode, yeah.
And they're like nicotine patches. Like, you got like real charge out of having it on there.
Yeah,
like,
you start going through withdrawals if you take it off without going through the
and
process.
And maybe also like Patrick or Galen, Jean-Luc was like, this fucking patch is nothing to me. I was born, bitch.
I was born in pain patches.
I was born. I'm lacutious. You think you're going to like...
The Borg had something like a pain patch. It was a full conversion into a cyborg.
I see the real number of lights, bitch. Like, go for it. Like, I love this about this. Like, Jean-Luc never looks as he's like, I'm ready for any pain you're going to give me. And I think that is kind of also a fun thing because he's like, shit, Jean-Luc, you look like you're in control of everything from step one. Yeah. And only would that be if, like, you were like, I was Borg, I was tortured.
I went through 20 years of pain patch addiction over on that flute planet. This is nothing.
The flute planet.
And trusting, like, your top crew. Like, this is kind of a fun episode in that way. He's like, oh, shit, we're going to have to beam over and we're going to have to stun some people. And Beverly's going to be like, what the you know, like... That's kind of great that Picard knows that about his crew.
That's the greatness of Star Trek and also the fantasy. Like, instead of a power fantasy, it really is competency fantasy that you can trust your coworkers to do the right. Like, because I wouldn't trust my coworkers to do anything if I was like on vacation. Like, like Picard's like, I'll pretend to be dead and they'll all act optimally. It's like, wow, that is the future.
I mean, that's what feel good, right?
Yeah, no, that's
like if that was real.
That's the hope, you know, that like you can that people won't suck and can do the
but
right
then,
thing.
But then Picard also like believes to Paul, and you're like, what the fuck, Picard? What?
Well, he also murders old boy like by switching the frequencies. That's murder. That's textbook murder.
At
the very least, it's first degree manslaughter. And he's just kind of like chuckles about it.
Yeah, here's that clip, actually.
Well,
what happened?
I switched the transponder codes. Given his feelings about me, it seemed a sensible thing to do.
Premeditated murder.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like plugging the gun that the enemy's holding, and when they fire, it blows up in their face. Like, if it's, you know, he's pushing the button to kill Picard, and all Picard did was like, no, if you're gonna push the kill button, you know.
I mean, well, there's pacifism and there's pacifism,
right?
We can at least say it was manslaughter. Come on. I mean, this,
no,
he knew that guy was going to die.
No, I'm with Rob on this.
It's like if you hold up a mirror in front of somebody shooting a laser gun at you and it bounces back at them. Is it manslaughter or is
Yeah, that's definitely a more relatable example. It's
the I'm rubber, you're glue defense.
You pull the pin on, they threw a grenade at you and you kicked it back.
And the pin fell out as it rolled towards them. Is that manslaughter?
No, they pulled the pin to blow you up and right. You hit it back at them.
That's why we need Jag to come in here. He should have at least brought up.
I think if you throw it back, you're more liable than in this situation, actually.
But would it only work if he tried to kill Picard? If it was anybody?
That's true.
I think it was just Picard just switched the transponders with his own.
That's all he was concerned about. Not any of these random lower deckers who suddenly show up in the scene.
Yes.
Suddenly, the ship is like twice as full as it was all last episode.
Yes.
I like the Ziggy Stardust. Like side shaved head chick, she was cool.
Oh yeah,
Gozer.
I am so turned on by her. You're so lucky.
She was pretty hot.
You're so lucky that 50 minutes of this podcast will not be me talking about her. You're welcome, everybody.
I'd listen to that podcast.
I had so many notes and I didn't put any in because I was like, it'll ruin everybody. So don't do it, Bobby. And I'm just
this is the sexy alien hour.
Okay, you get. You get 1 minute, Bobby.
I can't because I've been holding it inside for so long. No, I just like what an amazing, beautiful character. That's all I got. I'm getting nervous. Yeah.
She looks very modern.
Well, and also it's too bad in Gambit.
It looks very 80s.
Part two, you don't see some of these amazing crew ever get to do anything again, especially the hottest like person on the crew who you just mentioned.
Did they do anything in the first episode?
They had some lines. Come on,
are we talking about the red-haired lady who gets killed?
She doesn't kill
later on. Wasn't she one of the ones that gets
Are you talking about one of the background actors?
She was on the bridge and she had the shaved head and like the
In part one, she has lines. She's not like the main character.
I mean, she grabs an artifact and...
John, don't kill my
fantasy. She's one of the main crew. In the sitcom version that follows the ship, she is one of the main actors.
Oh, yeah. Does she get killed by the mind machine?
By the jelly roll, yeah.
Right. The jelly machine.
Your bad CGI cannot affect me because I'm at peace.
I'm no longer turned on, so we can move on.
The doomsday weapon is a psychic jelly machine.
Right. So I read that originally the weapon was supposed to like be able to kill millions at a time. I don't know why they retconned that because that makes it dangerous. Like this thing was, they could have shot her eight. You talk about Picard's like
red-haired lady could have taken.
She's
her
like,
out.
Hang on, let me charge up my psychic gun. Like I would just blast. You're dead.
Yes.
Like done.
Yes.
Well, she's got to learn it. She's got to get her license for it. Learn how to use it.
Speaking of which, this irked me to no end. So like Picard's like, I understood the Vulcan symbolism of the it was peace. It's like, well, fucking Vulcan's looking at it. She didn't know that. Like, you know more than a Vulcan, and like an ideological hardcore Vulcan didn't know ancient.
She's
Vulcan?
MAGA Vulcan, Josh.
She's not literate.
She thinks space is flat. So
yes, that's right. So we do go back to Riker's reclaim the captain's chair, and he calls Vulcan. And I did just kind of wish there had been a visual gag where the captain's office had been redecorated every time someone else was in command. But every time there's at least one picture of an elephant in the background.
Hell yeah.
Data has ones and zero wallpaper.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, did you want to see like Data's cat just like in the captain's quarters?
Getting all over the place. Yeah.
Like him like being like Livingston.
Worf's like, Captain, I don't mean to bring this up in front of the crew, but the cat shitting all over the ready room.
Let me see you in my office, Worf.
What if he kept it in the fish tank? He replaced the fish.
What if when Worf was like, I'm sorry, sir, and Data's like, you can like leave or whatever, but and he's like, do you want me to take your cat? And I won't tell Captain Picard that he did this. Like, can you imagine? He's like, yeah, let's not tell anybody.
We're going to have to change the carpet again, number one.
And it's not just for the blood wines.
We do meet the Minister Satok, played by Martin Goslins.
Okay.
Who doesn't have an IMDb picture, so we'll see what that means. He's known for Access Code and Hider in the House.
Hey!
He's in Hider in the House, a common go-to. He's only in 10 things. Starting in 1984, it is a movie called Access Code.
Ooh, Amazon Women on the Moon.
Heck yeah. 10, Hider in the House, False Witness, Fire in the Dark, Inside Out, 3, Murder,
not
She
the one
Wrote.
You're thinking of.
Murder, She Wrote, Star Trek, and then L.A. Law, and that's it. All Inside right. Out 3 looks sexy.
No jag. That's why I added it earlier.
Inside Out 3 looks like a CD-ROM video game.
Yes, it does. Going back to what you were saying about Picard and the designs, I like when he's in there, you know, Vulcan explaining everything to T'Pol, and he's like, if you look closely, you might notice this giant notch missing in the top of this Like, it kind of goes back to the orb from DS. Do, like, the prop people and the writers just not talk? What is happening? And then they can't change the lines on the set? I don't know.
I don't know if it's if it looks immediately like a missing chunk or if it's just that is the design. I don't know.
That's the worst weapon, though, ever. It was a lot of work for the worst weapon. It takes about 8 minutes, and it'll kill you unless you, like, practice mindfulness.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Strawberry jam will knock you across the room.
And I was really kind of cheesed that, like, so it's going right to Worf. And I'm like, oh, Worf's dead.
I know. I thought the same.
Uh-huh, Picard looks worried.
That
he gives a look.
That dude's, like, resting state is violence.
Because he's doing his Tai Chi. He's fucking
That's right.
ready.
I'll think about my time in Moscow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I also felt like the fear, the litany against fear should have been invoked. Like,
oh, yeah. Mr. Worf, fear is the mind killer.
That's what I was about to say.
Captain, I am the Kwisatz Haderach. That'd be a badass Dune movie.
A year undercover. T'Pol is undercover for a year, playing the long game, triple crossing. And this is where she lets her mask slip? Why did you do that? I don't know. I don't know it by if she was like.
So she was not.
She had Picard in the palm of her hand and let it all slip.
She
there.
Was not Romulan at the end of the day. She was the. She was MAGA.
She was MAGA Vulcan.
MAGA Vulcan. Yeah. That, like,
but for some reason, she went into Romulan face and went
that,
undercover.
And that's
on
very
the ship.
Offensive to Romulans.
Well, that's. And I'm sure the MAGA Vulcans are very concerned about that.
It's just, it's, you know, funny is funny. It doesn't matter if, you know.
Yeah, she's like, shut up, Picard. I did my own research.
Yeah. Picard, you're so woke.
Don't put your cancel culture on T'Pol.
If you go to the center of the galaxy, there's an ice path that you can take that takes you to other worlds. Starts conflating all the crazy. The flat earth, there's think you can.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ring of ice. Yeah.
There's a pizza. You know what? Quarks has a basement where they keep.
Someone came in and shot a phaser right at his hard drive.
No one died at Wolf 359. They were all just crisis actors.
Inside job. Wolf 359 was an inside job.
She's producing the loose change.
And then I know you're fine with all this, Rob, but I don't know. So Picard, so I like that, like, okay, her mask slips. It's lame sauce on her, but I like that Picard picks up on. You can tell Picard's like, wait a second, this isn't adding up. So he goes out there, and I don't understand this game plan here where he's like, leave one of those pieces here. Like, what's his plan? Because usually when a character realizes there's a triple cross, they then form like in a more elaborate double cross, and then the audience enjoys watching it and they enjoy revealing it to the person. And here it's just like, I'm just going to goad you until you reveal the truth. Mm. And then we're going to go with that.
Well, she needs all three parts. He knows that she'll be
like, he should have just told the truth. And then he, at least he would have had the power in that scene?
I don't know. I mean, he was just like, he knew that she would have to backpedal if knowing that he, like, suspecting that she is not what she seems and knowing that she probably wants to combine all three parts. He was just like, let's see how she, if she can get out of this one. What if we keep one part here?
But it partly goes into what her plan is, because of course she can get out of this one, because she'll go, yeah, I'm paying you guys. Let's go down there. I'll give you your money. Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's a very good version of this long con.
But he is the captain of the ship, and his command is for her to leave that piece. And he's like, how is she going to get over this command of this? You know, like.
But no one cares. No one cares.
They don't care about rank and betrayal. Like, they want money, which they're, none of them are getting, evidently.
Picard didn't get anything out of his action.
She has no reason to turn down this perfectly, like, reasonable idea that he had.
Right, but
the so crew, she ends up.
Tell me what Picard gets out of doing that.
She reveals her shit.
Her true
self. He knows that she won't be able to backpedal convincingly, and she doesn't.
But does her revealing her shit change anything?
Does he need that?
Well, he says, and so you can't. She's not who she says she is. So there probably isn't money down there for you. And so they're like, oh shit, there's probably not money down there for us.
No, they say, I don't care as long as there's money down there for us.
Which is when they decide to go with her. Because before that, it was just going to.
He could have just gone out there.
She was going to go alone. And he said, if she goes alone, you guys are fucked.
He could have just gone down there and been like, by the way, everybody, I am Captain Picard and she's not who she says. And it would have gone, had the exact same effect. And then he would have been controlling the conversation.
Do you think those people have been like really happy that they had been duped by the Captain Picard?
I don't know. It felt weak sauce to me.
They would have greased him immediately. I mean,
he was trying to stop her from going down alone and making the weapon.
Okay.
But she did anyway.
All right. It didn't feel satisfying. It didn't feel like an Ocean's 11 type. Pulled one over her.
I agree that we should not compare this to.
Well, no, but you know,
I was thinking that myself. Like there are a lot of TV episodes that would have done this a lot better.
Yeah. Right. The payoff is not equal to the setup. It's a great setup. The payoff was like.
Yeah. No, okay. This is not a well done heist.
I really love that, Cam, this episode drove you to really like delineate and put it on the microscope so much so that it turned into like a 5-minute conversation on the podcast, which people be like, what? You became me for a second. It's kind of cute.
Oh, it helps that I just watched Thomas Crown Affair with
good movie.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
There's a no, that's with Rene Russo.
They're the same.
And Pierce Brosnan. And and like there is a reverse heist at the end of that, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. where he has to like put a painting back and then mm-hmm. but also at the very end he has somehow during that heist also grabbed another painting that we didn't see him do. Mm-hmm. And you just are like, okay. So it helps that I already had a Wave Away movie. Like sure. The heist worked out.
This was a very Dwight Schrute plan.
Yeah.
So did she just leave a chest of money down there for a year?
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
The other piece of her half beloved money. Yeah. Half why and just pay it like what yeah. Like,
that's all okay. She said. That's all I could get. And what is it? It's not gold pressed platinum, is it? What is it?
I think it was.
I think her racism played into why she didn't just pay them.
Yeah.
Like, I think she was gonna kill them ultimately
She thought Galen was gonna kill many more of them before they went down there.
Sometimes logic doesn't work out in Star Trek. No. You know? Like, just pay him. Like, there's no episode, Cam. If they don't do these things, we don't have an episode.
Get back, smoke a dube.
We're just watching over on Discovery. You got some mercenaries not paying their fence. And it's like, just pay the people. Why is anyone a pirate in this universe? Because no one ever pays you, apparently. Yeah.
Well, I also hate to say, like, I don't want to make a tangent off a tangent, but since you mentioned mercenaries, what the fuck are the mercenaries for? And why do they themselves? Use that word? Why don't they, like, they don't, they, like, what? Like, mercenaries.
Because they're not supposed to have pirates in Star Trek, remember, Bobby?
Are you saving alien babies somewhere, like, bleeding
maybe,
to death?
Maybe they are.
Are you the ones really that are noble. Going somewhere back and feeding the crystalline entity that's gonna die? Like, what are you doing? What are you mercenary for? Like, why don't I understand that phrasing? And I'm sorry.
They cut out the line where they're like, you want me on that galactic barrier. You need me on that galactic barrier.
It's so weird to me. Mercenaries for who? For what? For money?
Well, yeah, exactly. They just go to Ryza. It's free. Like, how does anything get done when Ryza, you can just go to Ryza? Like,
Yeah. Is it free? Is Ryza free?
Yeah, is it
I get free the impression that like maybe the Federation just has like a special access and everyone else has to pay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
They got timeshares and shit.
Ryza's a big timeshare scam. Number one, we have to go on July 31st or we'll lose our spot.
there's blackout dates and stuff.
That's what people are like hijacking ships and stuff to like get to Ryza.
Well, everything does work out for our crew, and they stop T'Pol, and they go back.
Well, they empty their minds of violent thoughts, and yeah. We're lucky that none of them thought of, Stay Puft Marshmallows. Anyway.
Right. That's right. And then we get our little closer at the end with Riker and Picard and Data, and it's cute,
yep.
I guess.
There we go.
It was great.
Data, he was joking. You know that, right? Data?
And then it just cuts to the outside of the ship, and I so wanted like an 80s sitcom ending. Data! Yep.
So,
like, I could hear it in my head and was disappointed it didn't happen.
I am left with the question of, like, did Data know he was choking? And was just like going like along with it, or
that's the best part. It's up to you, how you think about Data's like.
In my mind, he brought him straight to the brig, and like,
yeah, he's through it. As we said, he's so method. He's so into the character.
People like me, Data totally knows. This is like Data making the best joke.
Riker could have contacted Picard, like, Picard, tell him, you know, like, on the way down there, like, hey,
Picard. No, Picard doesn't have his badge on right now.
No. Neither did Riker, I don't think. Maybe no, he did.
Probably not.
He would talk Data into asking, for sure.
Data throws him in the brig and spots the only other person in there. Person.
How many of the 12 counts of court-martial do you think Riker ended up getting in trouble for?
9 or 10.
7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we ready to rate?
You know... 60% of Vulcan extremist isolationists think that if Riker were convicted, he shouldn't be number one.
That's true.
Oh, right.
That was a long road.
No, that's nice. That's something.
Nice. Okay.
That's right.
All
right.
Wait, I do have a question, though. Do you really believe that Worf could, like, exit all violent thoughts from his body since everything about his entire character? But wait.
I do.
Let me finish my question. Okay. Everything you've ever seen about his character in this 7 seasons of a show has shown him always very overreactionary and overviolent, and he's pent up too. Like, you think he just go zen?
He got beat down a lot in this episode, though.
I would argue we've seen Worf meditate more in this series than we've seen anybody else meditate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, he was cool when he was summoning God with his mind or whatever, or space, exactly. You know, click on Jesus.
And maybe Beverly's also like, take these 10 sedatives right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
Yeah, maybe Bev's like giving him a little hypo. Yeah.
He's been on Prozac. He's in therapy, like trying to be
he's
better
smoking
dad.
A lot of pot. Yeah. Like, he's smoking a lot of pot.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Worf is like the ultimate divorced dad. You know, he's like, I believe I will take Alexander to Chuck E. Cheese this weekend.
There you go. All right.
Okay, well, we've got some last comments from our Twitter followers. Let's see. Newman, our recent guest from Movies for Days, says, I love undercover pirate Picard and have always appreciated the notion of anti-aggression being used to defeat or nullify a super weapon. Also, the ready room scene between Data and Worf has always stuck with me as a great look into a bridge friendship we don't often see.
Yeah.
David Jones says Gambit was very underrated. And someone under the name The Bricked Pit Podcast just says he has thoughts.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh.
You have heard them.
Wow.
And then Abby Summer also says that Coral is one of her favorite one-off Klingons ever. So beautifully awkward and intense.
Yes, I agree.
I agree.
We ready to hear some rating options here?
Let's hear some rating options.
All right, we can rate it on a scale of 1 to 25% phaser power, number of 3D printed dice towers, number of backstabs or double crosses. I guess the double crosses. It's only 1 to 5 scale because they're double.
Oh,
the scale of 1 to 6'9", which is how tall James Worthy is. Number of dun dun duns, which you have to say the number of times. So if you say 10, you have to do 30 dun 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 or 30 duns. Jelly rolls. What was the jelly roll blaster? Scale of 1 to 12 court martial counts. And then my two that I can't decide between are number of gallstones or number of banana peels.
Ooh. Oh, I was going to say double crosses, but those are two good ones.
I feel like both are slippery.
How many gallstones would you pass to watch this episode again?
How many gallstones would you shove into a banana peel?
Sure.
No. How many gallstones would you like to pass?
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. That's
zero.
I will say, I would go ahead and deal with 6.5 gallstones to watch this episode.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was fun as long as you don't think about it and... or at least you don't think about certain parts of it for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had fun. It's fun. Fun enough.
Yeah. I'm going to rate this on one watch only, not doing a second watch and taking notes and carefully following every line of dialogue because things are very complicated. But I do think everything gets resolved a little too easy, but there's a lot of really good scenes. It's fun watching Picard play Galen. It's fun watching Riker play evil Riker. Yeah, so I agree. 6.5 gallstones I'm passing to watch this episode again.
All right.
If it had been a one-parter, probably would have been more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bobby, what you got?
Well, I rated the first part 2.5, and my first watching of the second part, I gave it a 9, actually, and then I watched again. I was like, no. 8.5. So if I average that out, I mean, I kind of feel like I'm around... lower than 6.5, but I can't 5. Do that 5. Because the second part is still more redeeming than that. So I'm going to go with 6.5 with the two first jumps.
All right. Wow. Josh?
All right. So coming into this podcast, I was at 7.8 gallstones. But now after we have thoroughly trounced it and pulled it apart, I'm going to drop it a full point. The 6.8. I still think it is in the better half of TNG, and probably, it's imminently watchable. It's not a bad episode, but if somebody's like, "Hey, I want to watch Star Trek," this ain't where I'm starting them.
Nice. Yeah. John, your score has a button that accidentally kills itself, but go ahead.
I'm right there with you guys. I said last time that I gave the first one 5. I combined it with this as to one long episode. It bumps it up to a 6.5 for me. I can't go any further than that. Like, I'm guessing if I were to sit down and watch them back to back, I'd be like, God, there's so much unnecessary in here. But the good stuff is really good.
That's true.
The crew. Mm-hmm. All the crew members do keep.
There's
it.
So many punches.
Yeah,
so many punches. Now, John,
the pirates just suck. Like,
take your torture device controller and push the button. Cameron, don't forget. Go ahead.
All right. Well, our poll results show that 4% gave it a 4 or lower. I want to know who that person was. 4%. Who hated it. There's always someone who hates every episode. 15%.
It's Bobby.
Gave it a 5 or 6. 63% gave it a 7 or 8. And 18% gave it a 9 or 10.
And IMDb says it's a 7.9.
Yeah.
Lots of 8s. 39%.
100%. If I watched this episode once and then you asked me 2 years later to rate it, I'd probably give it an 8. Yeah.
We decided that the IMDb ratings are usually people that remember the episode and that haven't watched it recently.
Well, also, if you watched just part 2 and if it would have just been one episode in that part 2 with most of part 2, I would have rated an 8 or 8.5.
Could be.
But if you go through the whole first part 1, if you hold it separately, I would give it an 8. But you can't because so much of the plot is dependent on everything else.
But, you know, I guess it part 1 was pretty extraneous because I followed along with only watching part 2. So I was like, they could have just done away with part 1.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's not much you need from part 1 other than just how they got on the ship. Mm-hmm.
And they could have just could have been 2 lines. Number 1, I pretended to kill myself.
Well, if you want to come try to double cross any of us on social media, feel free to over at Greenshirt87 on Twitter.
Fuck us up on Facebook at Greenshirt Podcast.
Check Cam and I out on our Open Pike Night podcast. We just had our second interview with Melissa Navia, who plays Erica Ortegas. And soon we will have just released our interview with Martin Quinn, who is the new Scotty.
Ooh.
Nice. And you can buy some green shirt merch at shirtnerdery.com/greenshirt.
Josh, where can people hear more of your velvety tones?
No one wants to hear more of us, but if you, you few brave souls, we're pretty active on Twitter X at Brick Pit. There's Linktree, the linktra.ee, whatever, at Brick Pit. We'll get you to all of our places. Any place podcasts can be bought or sold for Vulcan relics, you can find us.
Flea markets.
Half of our audience is here tonight, so
I'm subscribed to you.
The night and the podcast two-parter, I think, was a worthy two-parter. I really enjoyed both the night and the podcast episodes.
Oh, I appreciate recently. That. Yeah. Well, we had Patrick from Vintage Video on, and like he's he's like my Twitter best friend. And besides you guys, like I have like so many like what I would like tell strangers or real friends are like Twitter people, you know. And his podcast Vintage Video was just so
that's an
good.
Insane podcast.
They're doing like every movie of the 80s in release order, and they do such deep dives. It's like it blows my mind. And like the fact that he wanted to come on our podcast, I was like, well, you've listened to it, right? Like,
if I could go back in time, I would have started that podcast.
Yeah. Yes, me too.
Every movie of the 80s, every single
one. Really?
He's his voice is like just mesmerizing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I really,
thank you.
Great really job. Appreciate it, man. This is, I listen to very few podcasts. I mean, I don't even listen to my own. So this is one of the few that I really actually listen to. And you guys are awesome. And Open Pike. Open Pike is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Man, y'all are killing it on all fronts.
Podcasts are super fun to make. And
for sure.
Community is what makes them.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What are we watching next week?
Next week, we are watching Phantasms.
With Ben Affleck?
Yes.
No, that's Phantom.
Phantoms.
That's Phantom.
That's Phantom. So this is the one with the Pokeball, right?
This is the one with the tall man.
Yeah.
The tall man.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. So I think what maybe all the people that Picard killed as Galen, like we said, he's been out there just blasting ships. So they all start haunting the Enterprise, and the Nerd Squad has to go full Ghostbusters. So I'm thinking it's Data and Geordi are the Egon and the Stance, so they create some proton packs, and they convince Riker, who's clearly the Venkman, and will probably fall in love with someone who turns into a Targ at some point, to join them. And who's Winston? Beverly, because she's a skeptic.
Oh,
I mean, is it Worf? He's also maybe just a Sparkly.
I think Worf could fit in the. When it's just sort of the guy who's
he's got the dry
who's
humor,
getting dragged along, like it's a job, yeah.
Maybe he can actually like beat up a ghost. Yeah, yeah, we'll throw him a plasma bomb. Yeah.
He's like, I'm just here for the gold press latinum.
and then of course there's the silver spheres flying all over the place, and you hear tall man say, "Boy,
I do need to watch those." All right, everybody.
You might not have to do that.
Yes,
I do.
He does.
I do. I owe John a blood debt to watch them someday.
You've never watched Phantasm?
I gave him all five on Blu-ray. So yeah,
I do.
I have that Blu-ray too. I'm going to donate it to my
Hot as Love, baby.
I don't know what you all just heard, but I heard that Cam needs John to do some butt something, and then rigged it on five on whatever and something hot love. I mean, did you? What?
Man, your version of our conversation was a lot spicier. Yeah, it's a lot more interesting. All right, everybody. Thank you for coming and listening, and we'll see you next time.
Watch out for banana peels.
Yeah, watch out for those.
Empty your minds of violent thoughts, everybody.
That's good. That's it.
That's it.
All right.
I don't know. How did that feel? Enough!